Hey, what's up, Slashers and Survivor Girls? Welcome to another edition of the Creepy Real Horror Cast. And I'm your host, Squeaky.
I'm the good buddy Lunchbox.
Just kidding, I'm Mr. Smeg.
Sitting next to Mr. Sneggin.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I got a little...
Oh, it's going to be a fun one.
It was a little weird there. Before we get into the episode, welcome back.
If it's your first time here...
Buckle up. And subscribe. We'll drop in your favorite podcatcher on Tuesdays. You can join us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at CreepingItReal, R-E-E-L as in movie reel. If you have a movie suggestion, you can email us at creepingitreal.cm@gmail.com. And we have merch. Not sure if you'll get it in before Christmas, but it's worth a shot. creepingitreal.redbubble.com.
And if you listened to our last episode, my pants still have holes in them. There's one like right above the ass, and then there's one right above my knee. And
yeah, so please contribute to the pants fund because all Craig has is church pants.
In the arms of the angel, buy some merch.
And you'll all have to forgive me. I've been battling some seriously bad exhaustion for about a week now, like the kind where it's hard to move your arms. So I'm going to do what I can to keep the energy levels up. So just bear with me while I fight through that.
Just the image of you just walking around with your arms just dangling, just a little limpy. That's a fun image for me.
That's how I've been feeling for the last few days. It's just sort of like I'm walking around like, just mostly just the head because everything from the neck down is not, it's not working. It's
not
heavy.
Me. I've been feeling like Clark Griswold. Lately, just trying to do everything Christmassy with
you, just
family, and just
you're just the jolliest asshole this side of the nut house.
Pretty much. It's Bing Crosby tap dancing Danny fucking K.
And get your Clive Moose cup.
God, can we do a Christmas vacation? I have watched that movie like 5 times already.
Look, I get Cousin Eddie's kind of scary, but that's not really a horror movie, especially when it does that storm drain.
Yeah.
Shitter's full.
I have one of my favorite memes, and I'll probably post it on Instagram again just because it's so good. It was Cousin Eddie doing the, you know, Merry Christmas, your shitter's full. And then the picture below it is Art the Clown.
You mean Pennywise? Why
no,
would it be Pennywise?
Art.
Oh. Does Art live in the sewer too?
No. Art's just standing outside, like, looking at Cousin Eddie. Like, so you remember when the guy comes out and Cousin Eddie, like, scares him away? Like, that. It's like Art's, like, kind of, like, looking like, huh? Like, he doesn't know what to do with Cousin Eddie. I'll post it. You'll see it. It's delightful. I love it.
Okay.
I made it. Personally, it's... Mwah! Chef's kiss.
Okay. So we decided to just go ahead and double up this week, and we were going to knock out both Lost Boys sequels. They were both direct to video, and after watching The Tribe, I was like, I'm trying to stay more on the positive side of things. There's a lot to criticize with these, but I was like, all right, they've got to be able to pull something a little more up out of these two sequels. And then when I got through The Tribe, I was like, oh no, I have about 20 minutes worth of shit I can talk about. And then I'm out of stuff to talk about. So,
I mean, I could probably help out, but, yeah.
Okay. That'll put us up to 30 minutes.
So, I kind of felt bad that it's like, if we sat there and said, okay, this just isn't going to be worth a damn. I was like, we can't pull another of the dead. Where we just don't do the last two movies in the free. Like, I was like, what kind of show would we be? So it's like, you know what? I'm just going to grit my teeth and just go for it.
Because we have integrity, damn it.
Well, now we do. But it's like, hey, let's just get through them. But yes, we did The Tribe and Thirst. And we're gonna dive right on.
Yep. So I'll just go ahead and throw out the basic information for both movies now. The Lost Boys: The Tribe was released on July 29th, 2008. It was made for a budget of about $4.2 million. Now, mind you, it was direct to video. So I have no box office information. It was written by Jan Fisher, James Jeremias, and Hans Rodioff. It was directed by P.J. Pesci. The movie stars Tad Hilgenbrink as Chris. His name is Tad.
Tad.
Who names their kid Tad? Angus Sutherland as Shane. Autumn Reeser as Nicole. Gabrielle Rose as Aunt Jillian. Corey Feldman as Edgar Frog. Sean Sippos as Kyle. Merwin Montesier as Eric. Kyle Cassie as John. Monica Delane as Lisa. And Grayston Holt as Evan. And there is a very small but notable cameo in the opening scene by Tom Savini playing David Van Etten, the aging vampire.
Now, did Tom Savini do, or his nope. company, they didn't do any of the makeup work?
Not that I could tell. Unless his school was involved somehow, but I didn't see his name on any of the makeup effects.
Well, and that was the thing, was like, so that opening scene where they literally cut his head off, the head is so well done. And that's why I was like, I was wondering if it was his production company or school or...
He might have been
or whatever, but
possibly. This thing was pretty low budget. And then The Lost Boys, The Thirst, the second and subsequent sequel, dropped on October 12th, 2010. It was made for a budget of about $4.4 million. Again, being direct-to-video release, I have no information on box office. It was written by Evan Charnov and Hans Rodanoff. It was directed by Dario Piana. It was starring Corey Feldman as Edgar Frog, Casey B. Dolan as Zoe, Tennant Phoenix as Gwen, Jameson Newlander as Alan Frog, Seb Castain as DJ X, Felix Mossy as Peter, Stephen Van Niekerk as Lars, Joe Vaz as Klaus, and Matthew Dillon Roberts as Blake. And that's about anyone worth noting in any of this. I'm mostly shocked going back to the tribe. I mean, I was pleased to see the Tom Savini opener. I've seen the tribe once. It was in 2008, shortly, I don't know, it was probably a couple months after it had come out. We had seen it.
It was right after my birthday.
Well, it came out then, but I don't think we ended up getting it until several months later.
I think, weren't you at working at Movie Stop at that time?
No. This was before I started working at Movie Stop. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was working there when The Thirst came out, though.
That's right. I remember us getting The Thirst when it came out, when I was just like, ah.
Yeah, I saw The Tribe once, and it was about shortly after it had come out. And I didn't remember much. I did remember Angus Sutherland. Because he was pretty, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Angus Sutherland, if the name sounds familiar, it's because that's Kiefer Sutherland's younger half-brother. He was 25 when he did this one. He's about 40 now. And so I just remember that part. But going back and watching it now, I was actually kind of like, oh, that's cool. Like, the Tom Savini thing was pretty neat, and I remembered it being about Vampire Surfers, and that was pretty much the end of it. That was all I could really recall from the movie at all. Unfortunately, this thing suffers from... The tribe suffers from being neither good nor bad. It's just kind of bland. It's super bland. Unfortunately, Sutherland has all the charisma of a plank of wood. He didn't get any of the appeal that his brother or his dad has. Donald Sutherland is a very, he's a very animated actor. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things he does, he tends to kind of, he sticks out because he just radiates this kind of energy.
Yeah, he's got a really good energy.
And while Kiefer reads a lot quieter on screen, there's a charisma that draws your eye to him. He could be just standing in the background saying nothing, but you see him, and
he's the smoking man in X-Files,
kind of like that. Yeah. Jack Bauer.
Yeah,
because he's Jack Bauer. Angus, just, he's good looking, and that's about it. Like, his performance was meh. He was pretty wooden. He was Ed. He was Ed's buddy Plank. Anyone remembers Ed and Eddie?
Oh yeah. I'm well aware.
The only actor I think that from that crew, from the tribe that really did a whole much did much of anything was Autumn Reeser. She's done a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the thing was, so. To kind of set this up for everybody, Meg messaged me and said, hey, it's, you know, streaming on Amazon that's already rented, so you have about, what, 10 hours to watch?
Well, no, you have 48 hours from
the it's 48 hours, but we had 10 left. So she's like, okay, go ahead and jump on it. So this morning, I decided I was just going to go ahead and start, like, because I work at it for a civil engineering company, and so I sit there, and I'm doing my grading, and I got, you know, the thirst on, and all of a sudden, you're like, you call me, you're like, wait, no, that's, you're watching the wrong movie. So I jumped into the last one.
The Tribe, which is the middle one.
Yeah.
You watched the last one first.
Yeah, so yeah. I was like, oh, no. And so you were like, oh no, the last one is probably a lot better. And so, and I am like the whole time watching The Thirst, I was just cringing and I was just not having a good time with it. And so then I was like, wait, I got to go through more crap with the second one? Like what? I was like,
are you mad at me?
What did I do to you? It's like, I know we've had problems in the past, but jeez, I'm a nice guy. It's like, you ain't gonna do this to me. Like,
tears.
Emotional damage. Right. But yeah, no. So, however, I say that jokingly.
Do you, though? Half jokingly.
There's partial jokies. I actually didn't mind The Tribe.
Yeah?
I liked The Tribe over Thirst.
I didn't say I minded The Tribe so much. It's just not... It's just bland.
And here's what it is. So you have Publix brand, or even better yet, let's just go with straight up Oreos. Mm-hmm. Right? You got Oreos. Then you go to Aldi, and you get knockoff Oreos. Yeah, they're Oreos. They're probably going to taste okay. But they're not going to taste...
The same.
And that's what you got with this one. Because the premise of this whole movie is the same thing as the original Lost Boys. Mm-hmm. And there was stuff about it that I was like... About. The gang. The surfers.
Did you recognize one of them? Do you remember Deadpool? The douchebag with the bedazzled jeans? Oh, yeah. He was one of the vampires in those.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's all he was. Now I remember, yeah. But that was the thing, is like, those guys were the scariest part of this whole movie.
The cronies?
The cronies were the scariest part. So, and I say scary and finger wiggles. But like for them, where they were just like, oh, hey, we're just going to go have fun. I'm going to take this knife and I'm going to cut my friends open. Mm-hmm. Like that's their like,
oh yeah. One of them got gutted for just shits and gigs at the party.
In front of like a girl that he was trying to, he's like, man, I was trying to get laid and now I got to like put my guts back in. It's like, wow. Like that's a little
you too jolly far there. Jokester, you prankster, you I mean, rascal, you.
I've played hockey for the majority of my life, and it's like, so I am totally accustomed to locker room pranks, and
that was never one you played.
I've never gutted one of my friends. Oh. Kind of wish I had now.
You missed out.
I did.
You missed out on something.
Opportunities.
Oh well.
Yeah. Live and learn.
Vulnerable in a towel. Blade the gut.
No, we just did. It was icy hot in the jock before practice.
Or keep it a peep. What was the one you told me? Keep it a peep, clench in your butt cheeks.
Yeah, it was either the icy hot or the peeps during practice. So you had to actually practice, and then at the end of the but Bob's your uncle. So, but that was the thing is, that those guys were the scariest part of it because you didn't know how they were going to react.
Yeah, their unpredictability definitely added something to it. And mostly, they were kind of the more interesting parts of the movie, just because you were like, what are they going to get up to?
Yeah. And if I think back to, like, the original Lost Boys, where it's like, yeah, the gang was just wild, but they were actually very...
They were good boys.
They were very well-mannered, you know, for... Like, they kind of, like, held it together. These other guys are like, we're just going to just fuck with everybody. Like, we don't care. It's like, they just... Like, the whole scene where they were trying to get... what's his name? The main kid?
Chris.
So they were trying to get Chris initiated. And so they took their motorcycles and they're just tearing ass through town, causing all kinds of ruckus. And then they go over to the fucking sheriff's station, start banging on windows, and they're doing burnouts in the parking lot, getting the cops to, like, come out. And then they go on a high-speed chase, and I'm like, good.
For funsies.
Holy shit. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. Like, and they're, like, on top of, like, shipping containers and all types of shit.
Well, so they were like, all...
Oh, that's pretty... I mean, that's... What a hootenanny.
Well, they were all pro surfers. The one from Deadpool was actually Chris. It was in a competition with him, and they had already kind of had friction because Chris had Nancy Kerrigan to the other guy.
Yeah,
he just took his leg out from under him and completely. He ended his career.
Sweep basically. The leg, Johnny.
Yeah, but he ended his surfing career, which is I guess why he turned to vampirism. And then Shane, Angus Sutherland's character, the leader of this particular group of Lost Boys, he was a like Kelly Slater level famous surfer, and to the point where like Nicole turns to Chris and is like, you used to have a poster of him on your wall in high school. And I had to think about it. I'm like, how old is Chris? Because Nicole's supposed to be 17. I'm guessing Chris is supposed to be in his early 20s, but at one point Shane was on top of the world and then he disappeared.
Yeah.
He just stopped going to competitions and fell off the face of the planet. Well, he decided at some point in the few years prior to meeting Chris and Nicole to go ahead and just sign up for that vampire deal. it was his blood that ended up half turning Chris and Nicole.
Yeah. And I like that they still kept in with the original lore where it's the you could either drink, or they say you could either drink or just get bitten, and
yeah,
the process starts with them drinking it, so
it seems more like that they kind of lean heavier into that side of it, because there was an emphasis on, because one of the girls that was with the group on the beach was like, "Ooh, give me a sip of that," and they're like, no, we don't want you to be a part of this.
Yeah.
So she didn't make, obviously wasn't going to make the cut for the group. She just thought they were passing around a, what's it called?
There's a like flask of booze. Flask, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I blanked on the word flask. Keep up, kids. I'm tired. But like she thought they were just passing around a flask of booze and was very quickly shot down when she's like, give me some of that. And because the whole thing was he was chasing Chris for some reason.
So that scene, I had this moment of like, all right, I'm with it. Like, it's fun. Like, they just kind of, they took it to this line and then they drew the line. They showed you the line and they go, here's the line. And then they fucking ran the shit over. Just like...
Which part?
So, when they're handing the flask around and the girl's like, oh, let me get some. And they're like, oh, I don't think it's for you. And they just kind of like... They all laugh it off like it's a fucking Old Navy commercial. Like, okay. And like... Because they're all around like a big bonfire. Like, it's, and they're all polos. All, yeah. Anyways. Preppy shit. And... But then they're like, she goes, well, why not? And like, they kind of pause and he goes, because we're vampires. And she kind of went, huh? And then he did the whole, we're vampires, like Batman, but it's like his face like totally changed. I'm like, oh, that one's rough. You always try that one again there, bud. Like, and then they like go and tear up all the party, and it's just a lot of blood.
The dialogue itself wasn't particularly cringy, but some of the delivery was bad.
That part was really bad.
Well, there was the whole, Edgar Frog was trying to do, like, the catchphrases. Oh. When he would turn up to, I can't remember what, I'm going to have to look up a couple of them. But he had a couple where he would try to do the sassy one-liner, yeah. Buffy the Vampire style, when he went to kill somebody.
There was a lot of the, like, Buffy, like, I miss watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer because of that. It's like, because all those little one-liners, yeah, they may be corny, but, like, they, like, landed when it came out of, like, Xander or Willow.
There was one at that same with the campfire thing that they were all doing. He showed up, and Chris was in a tussle with one of the other vamps because he was trying to get the girl he was with to run. And so that, she ended up getting killed anyway. They ended up getting into a fight, and Edgar shows up, and he's got two steaks in his hand. He just goes, who ordered the steak?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one was pretty brutal. I'm trying to see if there's any others. Do you smell that? It smells like death and fungus. It's vampire BO. One of my favorites from this, though, which cracked me up the first time I heard it, was your sister's a suck monkey.
Oh, yeah.
another one that's pretty good. Build a man a fire, he's warm for a day. Light a man on fire, he's warm for the rest of his life.
Oh, God, yeah.
That one's pretty good.
And that one was interesting, too, is like, because they stab one of the vamps, and all of a sudden, like, he just catches fire. Like, I didn't see if they poured anything on him, or if he, like, caught, like, a candle on his way down or something, but he just decided to go into flames, and I'm like, I mean, I guess it's, you know, also keeping consistent with, like, no two vampire deaths are the same.
Yeah.
So it's like, one, like, in The Thirst, wasn't there one that, like, turned to stone and then
no, that was this one.
Oh, that was in this one. Okay. I literally watched them back to back. So it's like they're kind of blending.
Her name was Lisa. She was the one that Chris was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Was about to have sex with in the shower.
That's right. And he planted her on.
She followed him home.
Yeah. That's in her bikini.
But like, stalker bitch, you followed the man home. Yeah. And then she. Yes, he invited her inside because his libido got the better of him.
Mm-hmm.
But then she tries to force herself onto him after he tells her no. And so she's up on his lap riding him. And I guess getting shoved off, she hit the antlers that were oh so conveniently placed at the beginning of the movie.
Like, when they set it up, and I'm like, I've watched enough wrestling in my life to know that
gag set up when you see one.
When you see the table or, you know, or something that's just purposely laid out, it's like, somebody's going through that sumbitch. And
yeah, because who hangs antlers at waist height?
Yeah, I was like, there's no way. It's like, you're running into that shit. Yep. I was like, that is so inconvenient.
Punish.
Pretty much. That's exactly naughty. What I said.
So,
God,
yeah.
I gotta watch that movie now.
She's the one, she's the one that got staked, and then she turned to stone and then dusted.
Yeah.
The vampire deaths actually weren't too bad in this one.
But they were all each different.
Yeah.
It's like they couldn't figure out. It's like, oh, maybe I like the dust, but let's try it this way.
Yeah, let's try it where they just start puking blood.
Yeah, let's just do the oozy stuff. That's a little too messy. Let's just go with the flames on this one. Like, that's a nice flame. It's charred. Yes.
Does anyone want barbecue? I smell barbecue. That that's all fine and Danny. But the kills weren't bad. The problem I'm struggling with, and I watched this last night, is... it's just not very memorable. Oh. I'm like 24 hours removed from watching this thing, and I'm racking my brain trying to pull something out. Like, look, if you look at the time gone by, we're at about 25 minutes, and I'm like, no, I'm pretty much coming to the end of it.
But the thing that got me with this is that it's, like I said, it's not a shot for shot, but it's very, very similar to what the original one was, where you have a new family come in, they are...
The plot points are the same.
The plot points are the same. I mean, even though it's like with Chris and his sister, their parents died in a car accident, and so now they're kind of living together, you know, yeah. dealing with that whole
thing. And Nicole is supposed to be 17, so like when Shane takes her off, I was like, okay. So this is where it starts to get Inception-y a little bit, like yeah. meta kind of a thing, because Buffy... Both the movie and the show, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, were directly inspired by the 1987 Lost Boys. Like, yeah. Spike, Joss Whedon has come out and said that Spike is a mix of David and Billy Idol. Like,
so good.
He liked the way that the vampires looked, so he used that. There's actually terminology that was pulled out. Vamp out was one that was pulled from Lost Boys into the Whedonverse with Buffy. Mm-hmm. So, like, Buffy was directly... influenced by the Lost Boys, and this was directly because this was 2008. This was 5 years after Buffy went off the air.
Yeah.
So this was directly influenced by Buffy, and there was a lot of that you could see.
There, I could definitely see the era of like Scream. It was just that kind of take on a. Like a high, you know, it felt like a high schooler movie because of the surfers, and I mean, they're definitely a little bit older, but the vibe of the movie
was a little CW.
It was, yes, yeah, definitely. Like once you got into like the drama with brother and sister, and like how,
and they not were even just that, but like Nicole being 17 and Shane being a vampire frozen in his early 20s, like the quote unquote romance. If you want to call it that, that it'd come out with those two, is very Buffy and Angel. That's where I was going yeah. with that was, you know, it's weird. And being on the other side of it as an adult now in her late 30s, I'm just like everything. Cause when I was younger, I was like Buffy and Angel, so romantic. And now that I'm older, I'm like, is it though? He was still, yes, he was frozen, but he was already in his early 20s when he was turned. So like, and she was 16. So what the fuck? Mm. And this is this with the tribe was the same thing where it was like Nicole 17 years old. Now granted, Autumn Reeser at this point was 20. Ooh, I think she was like 27 even. She was even older than the guy who played her brother. Yeah. Her older brother. But she looked very young. She could play young.
Yeah.
But it just, it was still kind of had a little ick to
so
it.
So I just, like, for this movie, it was weird because it followed the same beats, but the thing that just got me the most was they really tried to play heavy into the Frog Brothers stuff again. And that was, well, it was, like, it was them trying to... push in this, I don't know, like it was like they were trying to make it into like this completely different movie once Frog got on screen, because it's like once you got into with just the brother and sister dealing with the tribe, it's like you got, I actually was digging the movie, like I was like, I'm with it. Like, there's a couple of parts that's like, it's
so
a
was
little...
Edgar, like, the letdown for you?
100%. Yeah? Like, I was not about it. Like, it kind of took me out of the movie because he was doing that. And because you didn't have his other brother and Sam to...
To buffer that?
To give the comical relief. It's, you're getting this thing that there is no comedy. It's, he's not funny. It's not like it's, I'm for me, I was like, that's kind of, it's kind of bummer.
Cause the whole point of Edgar in the first movie was he, and Alan to probably a lesser extent, but the whole point of Edgar was, yes, he's the comic relief. He's supposed to be the funny character. But the thing is Edgar's not in on the joke. He's taking it. He's 100% serious.
Yeah.
But he's a joke to everybody else.
Yeah, and like in the original Lost Boys, like that one scene, and we have to admonish ourselves because we messed it up. We gave an extra comic book in our quote. We said it was, oh, there was five comic books, oh, four, but you know, I'm looking for the fifth one. It's actually three.
No, there's four. I'm always on the lookout for the other three.
Yeah, we messed up. Anyways, but that little gimmick, so Edgar was being the serious Rambo, and then Sam kind of came in and gave he finished off the comedy bit with
Sam lightened it up.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was a lot of that was like Edgar would set up this, and then his brother or Sam would finish with whatever the joke or whatever the scenario was to lighten that.
Well, Chris just was not the character to do that. Now, I don't know if he was written to not be, or if just the actor didn't have the comedy chops to pull it off. I mean, he played Stifler's brother in an American Pie sequel.
Well, and here's another thing too, that the problem that I see with all of that. So as I'm trying to like wrap my head around why Edgar Frog is not doing well, especially with Chris, because there's parts of Chris where he's just like, holy shit, like this is real. Like, what do we get? Like, and he's kind of like just that new kid. I mean, he is a new kid, but like he's new to all of this and he's either excited and he doesn't know, like
he's not excited. He's supposed to be playing concerned for his sister. The thing is, it's just the two actors, Corey Feldman and Tad Hilgenberg, that they didn't have any, there was no chemistry between the two of them.
But here's the problem. In the original, Edgar is a child. Now he's a man acting this way. And it does not work when you're trying, like he's trying to be badass. And I mean, like I'm actually pretty happy with the consistency where, you know, everything's
moving. Oh, yeah. You can't question Corey Feldman's commitment to this character at all.
And I will give them 100% credit. A+, gold stars. Well done. And my consistency checklist, awesome. One of my favorite things, frog juice. Frog juice comes back in both movies. Mm-hmm. Fucking gross as shit, but goddamn.
Garlic, like, holy water, and a raw egg.
Yeah. But he's just like, I mean, there's he's explaining to Chris like what he's drinking, and he just gives like this like serious face, and I'm like,
and chugs it down,
and I'm like, okay, it's like that's supposed to be like the badass moment, but at the same time, it's like
it's silly.
It's supposed to be. Are you supposed to be funny? Like, am I supposed to be like? And it's a lot of that throughout the movie.
Ah, okay, I hear you. You were confused as to what emotion you were supposed to be feeling.
It's like, okay. Because it's like the way he's going, like especially in that scene. It's like, boom, badass. Like, I just downed this nasty drink. Like, I'm ready to go fight some vampires. But the way Chris is looking, it's like, I'm waiting for a punchline. I'm waiting for something to happen. And it's like, I don't know. Like, but it's every time in this film, in The Tribe, that's how I feel with Edgar. And it's just,
I can see how you feel that way. I personally have, because I don't have any issues with the Edgar character to begin with. So, but I can see how him doing this as an adult would be off-putting for you. But I think the biggest thing is the two actors just didn't have any chemistry.
Yeah.
And that sucks because, like, the original trio, Sam, Edgar, and Alan in The Lost Boys had a fantastic chemistry together as teenage boys, as kids. So, like, they worked well together, and they read as friends, and it all, like, it felt chummy, and it felt good. In this one, it's just sort of like they got thrust together, but there's really.
And that was, like, in the original Lost Boys, it felt very Goonies. Like, it was...
Well, yeah, it was
supposed to be Richard Donner, or, like, movie. Stand By Me and stuff like that. So, it's like, you had, like, I think it's, like, when you're dealing with, or... my personal favorite when it comes to monsters, Monster Squad. Like that whole, when you have that camaraderie and the friendship and just we're, you know, here to battle evil. It's like when it's kids, it works so much better.
Oh, for sure.
And then when it ends up being an adult doing it, it's like, it for some reason, it felt flat. But on top of, like, as a positive, I didn't mind it. Like, it was as...
But you said it was distracting and it pulled you out.
No.
Just Edgar being Edgar.
Just Edgar. Yeah. The rest of the movie itself, I was I could deal with it. Like, was it great? Hell no. Not even. But it was one of those, like, if I had to put up Tribe and Thirst, I actually liked Tribe because it was very similar to the original Lost Boys.
Well, then, so. And that's the thing. That's part of the reason why I'm not super keen on The Tribe is because it is sort of a watered-down version of what we got in 1987.
You hand me the regular Lost Boys and Diet Lost Boys, and I'll probably just go with the regular Lost Boys. Thank you.
For real. But The Thirst did something completely different. So we get Edgar Frog back, which is fine. Before we move on to The Thirst, though, I do want to mention the mid-credit scene.
Oh, yes.
This was one of the weirdos that did the little mid-credit scene before it was cool, before Marvel started to run away with it.
And ruin our lives now.
Seriously. Like, now I don't trust any movie. I will sit through to the end of the credits because I'm like, well...
Well, you know, the one I was actually pretty happy. It's like if I like a movie well enough, like if I'm in a theater, I will sit through all the credits out of respect for everyone that made that movie. I've always done that, but now with Marvel, it's like you're just waiting. It's like, oh, is there a credit scene? And then like someone in the back is like, there's no credit scene.
Go home. Yeah. So I have trust issues. Thanks, Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But we get a mid-credit scene where Corey Feldman was out at a park and he's calling out to somebody and you hear this familiar voice come out, break through the dark. And throughout the whole thing, we have no Corey Haim. And when The Tribe came out, this was during the run of the two Coreys, their reality show, I think it was on A&E. This was, I guess, heavily hyped up. I didn't watch the show. It wasn't anything I was too terribly interested in. But I guess they hyped it up quite a bit on the reality show. And so I was kind of like, okay, so we don't get Corey Haim through any of it. He's mentioned. Sam's mentioned occasionally.
Yeah. Well, what was it? It was, they were talking to him. It was, Edgar was talking to Chris and he was saying that.
It's just the Chris thing. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no. He was going on about how, his buddy Sam was fighting with him.
He mentioned him in passing. And what was weird is Chris and Nicole's last name was also Emerson.
Yes, exactly. And that's where I was like, it was a weird mashing. But yeah, it's a very quick
Because we're not in Santa Carla anymore. We've moved to Luna Bay, which is a new fictional California seaside town. So we have that going on. But anyway, so getting into the mid-credit scene, we have Edgar Frog's calling out to somebody, and we hear
he's like, quit with all the theatrics.
Yeah, that's how he gets staked. And in the darkness, we see a figure, and it's Corey Haim. So we know it's Sam. We can hear that it's Sam. And he finally steps out into the light, and we see that Sam has been turned. And one of the points in The Thirst that gets brought up is when Edgar reunites with Alan, who has also been turned, which is why we don't have Alan in this movie. Alan was turned into a vampire. Alan asked, where's Sam? And Edgar said he had to stake him.
Yeah. And this is right around the time when Corey Haim died.
It was right after Haim died. Yeah.
There's a very sweet moment where Edgar goes over, like he visits Sam's grave and it's got the death date and stuff like that.
I thought was cool is it said 2008 on it. So again, these three movies weirdly did a pretty fair job of keeping a through thread of continuity.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was just keeping the Edgar character, but like some of the details were not dropped. So like him saying he had to stake Sam in The Tribe came out in 2008, and 2 years later we get the follow up and we find out that that's the year Edgar killed him. It's safe to assume that the end of The Tribe is when he staked Sam.
Yeah, and they mentioned it again in The Thirst when They're trying to find, it's him, what's the girl's name?
Zoe.
It's him, Zoe, and then some of the other little cronies, and they're like, oh, what are we going to do? He's like, oh, well, we can't, you know, we had a, Sam was staked, and then it's like, oh, what about, like, Michael and Star? And they're like, no, they haven't doing it. And they even mentioned Laddie. They're like, what happened with Laddie? And they're like, oh, no, he's off doing his own thing.
Well, they said Michael and it was Alan. He was talking to Alan about.
Oh, that's right. It was Alan.
Yeah, about going to stake the alpha vampire. And Alan's like, yeah, I don't believe this is a pyramid scheme. There's always somebody bigger. There's always somebody higher. Yeah,
there's always a head vampire. Like,
yeah. There's always another one. But Alan asks, well, what about Michael and Star? He's like, well, since I staked Sam, they're out. Okay. And then, yeah, he did bring up Laddie, which I thought was an interesting one, because you kind of forgot that Laddie had survived, too.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, he grew up, he got married, he had kids, he's off doing his own thing now.
Yeah. So, the thing with Thirst, for me, that killed it, was the whole time I'm going, God, I just want to watch Blade 2 now.
Is it because DJX was kind of Blade like in nature?
The whole movie is very like Blade.
Yeah.
Like, that's the vibe that they were going for. It's when you have this ragtag group of vampire hunters,
misfit vampires,
going up against a bunch of fucking vampires that look like they just came out of the Matrix. It's just.
It was a sexy industrial rave party.
Yeah. But I was just... And I mean, I absolutely love Blade 2, but it's just like... That's actually my favorite action hero vampire movie. Guillermo del Toro. And that was the thing was... With this one, this is very frog heavy.
This is Edgar's story.
This is Edgar's. Because in the tribe, he only kind of popped in every now and then. He
was a supporting character for Chris.
He was the old man on the bike. He's like, oh, don't go down there. I told you not to go down that way.
You're all doomed. Well, no, this is Edgar's story. Yeah. This is supposed to be like Edgar's redemption story because he had to stake Sam. Alan got bitten and turned on his watch. He's losing everything. The bank is repossessing his property because after Alan got turned, he stopped working. He was a vampire mercenary for hire. Like, he was going out and killing vampires, and he was also, he shaped surfboards as, like, his actual money job.
I love that, like, in the tribe where Chris was like, yeah, this guy, I'm gonna go help him, like, reshape surfboards for money, and it's just, like, way the fuck out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And, like, on the little card that he gives him, it's like, surfboard shaper and vampire hunter. It's like, that's on your... What?
Yeah, it's his business card. Just in case you need more than one thing done, yeah, you can do that. But he gave up all of that after Alan got turned. So he's in a bad way to the point where he was selling off his comic book collection. It was so cute because he walked into the comic shop. And we've all done this. We've gone to resale shops, comic shops, GameStop. Like, we're trying to unload some stuff we don't want. And I've seen this happen a lot because we have a couple of pretty... big, like, good-sized comic book stores around here. And I've watched people bring stuff up, and they'll be looking at it, and it's like, they overlook, and if there's the slightest, teeniest, tiniest defect of anything, they're instantly like, yep. I can give you $2 for it.
Yep.
It's like, homie, you're a dick.
And I love that, so he's trying to sell off, was it Kill All Vampires?
Yeah, and he's like, what? That thing's been bagged and boarded since I got it. And the guy's like, no.
Well, the guy's like, I'll give you, like, $62 for it. He's like, oh, it's clearly more than that.
Well, it was
like,
the whole collection. He gave him $65 for the whole thing.
Oh, that's right, the whole
thing. And he's like, well, I could consider giving you more if you gave me this one. It was the Batman number 14.
Yeah.
And that actually kind of touched me a little bit that he had a Batman number 14.
Well, and he was like, oh, no, not this one. It's more sentimental. But
Zoe, the shopkeeper, she's so cute. And she's totally crushing on Edgar.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty bad.
And that was the thing was, it was funny to see them talk about that comic book where he's just like, oh, this thing was never been read. It's just been bagged and bored, you know, from the moment I got it. And the guy's like, oh, no, there's wearing. The pages are yellow. It's like, it looks like the staples are all, like, worn out. Like, so, like, clearly it's been open. Like,
it's been read a lot. It's, yeah. It's a well-loved comic
it's
book.
It's very well-loved. And, there's been times where, as you said, it's like we've been into comic shops and it's like we've seen that where... or even like for me, like with Pokemon, it's like you look at somebody, well, like they're trying to, you know, trade out a card and you're like, you can just see that it's warped and it's been riffled to shit. And it's just like, and they're like, oh yeah, it's mint condition. It's like, you're full of shit there, homie.
Yeah.
So, but that was the thing was like, it was sad because it's like, you could just see how he was just falling apart and he was very, very lost. Didn't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, a super hot author.
Yeah, they tarted up Stephanie Meyer, mm-hmm. basically. Gwen yeah. Lieber. She wrote sexy teenage vampire novels. One of them was about to be made into a major motion picture, as yeah. Edgar put it. And I was like, wow, you sexied up Stephanie Meyer. Good for you guys.
Yeah. And but she comes in and says that her brother has been taken by vampires, and she needs Edgar's help to save him. And he immediately, instead of it just being like, sure, okay, like, let's go, I need money, I need to do, like, he's just completely
he told her no.
He's done. And it was just funny having him kind of go back and forth with just this whole thing with her. And it's like, I don't think he ever mentioned money once. It's like, he could have probably just been like, hey, pay off my bank loan, and then you got yourself a deal. He never said anything about money.
They didn't talk actual dollars, which is funny. But he eventually came around and ended up having to be paired with some douchebag reality show star, Lars.
Yeah.
Who was, I think they were riffing on Zach Bagans real hard.
I don't think it was, I could definitely see Zach Bagans, which I'm a huge Ghost Adventures
because
guy.
Because he was like a paranormal investigator. They were riffing on Zach Bagans yeah. real hard.
Well, it's like the Bear Grimes, because like this guy was like, oh, I've wrestled bears and
alligators and stuff, yeah.
Like, and they're like, like, even Edgar's like, it's all stage, it's which all made for me, TV.
Which made me chuckle. He's like, the reality TV's all stage. I'm like, are we speaking from experience, sir?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just, I got a kick out of that. And it's like, and the Gwen character, at the end of it, ended up being in cahoots with the bad guy anyway. When that reveal happens, she's in her Lara Croft getup mm-hmm. with the short shorts and the low cut tank top. It's like, y'all, did we really have to do this?
Yeah.
But I liked a lot what they did with The Thirst, because it wasn't a cut and paste of the first Lost Boys movie. They decided to do something a bit different with it. They had turned the vampire thing, like, what's one way that we can stretch this out? Well, if the whole premise of you can get turned into a vampire by drinking the blood of a vampire, what if we turn vampire blood into a designer drug? Which, for the record, was lifted off of True Blood.
Yep.
That was a True Blood idea. But they used it as a rave drug, so they were treating it more like ecstasy or MDMA or whatever. And they were treating it as that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool, so, 'cause they were just... When we get to the rave at the slaughterhouse, like, the girl up there is just flinging packets of vampire blood into the crowd, which was pretty interesting.
I mean, granted, again, they're keeping in context with, or, you know, the continuity of how the vampires are created.
They really, this whole series does a really yeah. good job of creating a vampire lore and sticking the landing
yeah.
on it.
Yeah, so I was like, you know what, I'm with that too. And I like that this was, like, with the drug and just the ecstasy and whatever they were giving to these ravers, having it be like it's a secret rave that it'll only be announced like the day that it's going to go up, and it's like you have no idea where it is, all that other, like mm-hmm. that's for like, so now all these people that are huge fans of this DJ are going to be ravenous, and they're going to rush out to this place. They're going to get so many people, like, and it, and they did, and it's very, very genius. And even Edgar's like, if they get all that fucking blood in all these ravers, like, they're going to be fucking out of their mind. Like, we're not going to be able to control them. It's going to be a giant army of just...
Because they're already on drugs.
Yeah.
By the time they show up there. All the club, designer club drugs, everyone's on them in some combination or another. So you add the vampire yep. blood on top of that. So you're turning... In a situation where the bloodlust would already be hard enough to control, you're adding a completely out of control element on top of it.
Yeah.
So you have the berserker vampires, basically, is what you're getting out of that.
Yeah. And that was something with the... I did like the twist at the end where the girl was like, oh, like, we need to save my brother from the head vampire.
Oh, it's just making out with him?
Yeah. Well, then it turns out where it's like the quote-unquote brother is the head vampire, but the idea was that... what's the DJ's name?
X.
How did I forget that?
Yeah, that's.
Really I was like, question. I was gonna say Mr. X, and I was like, that's not right. And uh-huh. Yeah. So of X, so his whole thing was that he was going to capture this guy.
There was a blood moon ritual.
Exactly. Yeah. So and they were. Was, oh, go ahead.
I mean, if you remember the whole thing, go ahead. I'll let
yeah,
you
yeah, know. Yeah. No. So they have him tied up and. On the, like, I think it's, like, once the moon is fully risen.
And it's the full blood moon.
Yeah.
And what happens is there's a power transfer. The way it was explained as being, like, you needed a young boy sacrifice. I'm just trying to remember if I have this right. Young boy sacrifice to, in order to get the power to become an alpha vampire, right? Well, what the book that Alan left for Edgar didn't say was that the sacrifice had to be an alpha vampire. So Peter is our Dracula in this whole thing. He's the one who he's at the top of the pyramid. And he had been for centuries at that point, like I think close to 1,000 years, over 1,000 years.
They actually showed it where he's like in like robes and stuff like that, like yeah. way, way back in there. I was like, oh, like finally they did some shit back in the day. That's
yeah, awesome. 1033 AD.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So when Peter explained it, he goes, yeah, the ritual was it was a power transfer was what was going to happen. So Peter showed up at one of X's raves. He got drugged with garlic water and he was being pumped full. There were several IVs on him at all times with a garlic infusion that was constantly being pumped to his veins to keep him weak. And on the night of the blood moon was when X was going to go follow through with the whole plan and managed to create a whole mess of baby vamps at the same time. So the idea, because Gwen was working with Peter, I'm assuming Peter was the lead vampire in all of her little romance novels. He was the one. They must have had a love affair or something, and she was basing all of it on him. He promised her that if he could get... That if Gwen could bring Edgar Frog to him, then he would turn her. He wanted Edgar because he was apparently a super accomplished vampire hunter, and he wanted to turn Edgar to work with him and get him to do vampire population control.
And you know what that is?
Getting them?
Blade! That's the premise of Blade! That's what happens! Is the vampires go, hey, there's a bunch of, like, really, really bad vampires. Can you help? Please? I love your haircut. Your glasses are sweet. Mmm, that's a nice sword. Sing, sing. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's Blade. Like,
yeah. Except Edgar is nowhere near as cool as Blade is.
No, not even.
Not even a tenth of the cool factor. But that was the whole idea. But what Peter didn't count on was
A, Edgar having help. B, Edgar having, because he's been DIY for so long, having the ability to think and plan on the fly the way that he does. And then he also didn't count on him having a crew to help out either. So there was a lot of factors that I guess Peter just thought Edgar was isolated enough that it wasn't going to matter. But I did love the way that Peter ended up being defeated, because he did try to, because he'd had Alan, he was going to sic Alan on Edgar, but he didn't count on, I don't think Peter counted on Edgar having the integrity that he did. Because he's like, no, fucking kill me. I'm not turning into a vampire. You crazy person. No way.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, I don't think, counted on having Alan being able to hold on to, like, the slightest shred of willpower to not bite Edgar.
Yeah.
Like, they tussled a bit, but there was no follow-through. But the way that Peter was killed, actually, I find pretty funny. It cracked me up a little bit. So he... Edgar pulls a water hose down, and he sprays Peter with it. And Peter's like, ah! And then he stops for a second, he's like, what the fuck was that? Like, it's just water? And just as a reminder, Edgar is an ordained minister, and he goes and he blesses the water that's on Peter, therefore turning it into holy water and burning the fuck out of the alpha vampire. And that's how he gets taken out by this clever... like just a clever thinking on the fly thing. When DJX, when they initially thought he was the alpha vampire, it ended up being a blade style fight, which actually the fight scenes were pretty good.
I'll give him that.
This movie was, I think they were really well
for this level. For this level, yeah, choreography
it
was good.
Pretty good. Because a lot of times with a lower budget movie like this,
some practice involved.
Yeah, but there was like with a lower budget movie, there's a lot of half-assed choreography you're usually seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, this works. Like, I don't know if it was just because the stunt guys were as good as they were, or if they just managed to get the right cuts in there. It kind of worked, that final scene with DJX.
Yeah, the one thing that drove me kind of crazy was that with, like, DJX, where he's like, oh, you fight, you know, very admirably, and it's like, oh, but now it's time to take you. I've been living for centuries, and I've been through countless battles, and I fought beside some of
the greatest warriors.
Yeah, it's like, shouldn't you just, like, overpower him, or are you just playing with him,
one of my favorite parts is he says, you know what the number one rule of battle is? And then Alan pops up as a surprise, and he goes, not monologuing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which I was like, you got me. Yay, Alan.
Crazy guy got me monologuing.
You sly dog. Which I thought was pretty funny. He's like, you shouldn't be monologuing, was rule number one of the fight. There was actually... The tribe had some super cheesy quotes. They were cheesy as fuck. Even though probably one of the best ones is the fire one. Light a man on fire, he'll be warm for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But there were some callbacks to The Lost Boys, which I, with that being one of my favorite movies ever, it warmed my heart a little bit. Is it pandering and fan service? Absolutely. Did it work for me, though? Absolutely. So there's the scene at the end where Edgar and Alan have made up, and Edgar looks at him and goes, death all vampires, maximum body count. We are awesome monster bashers. The meanest, the baddest. And I was like, aww. Then there was another callback at the beginning of the movie when they're in D.C. and they break into one of the government buildings, and there's the ancient senator in the wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
And they hand him the dentures, and he's leaning in to bite this congressman. It was a senator biting a congressman. And he's leaning over, and when Edgar and Alan break through the door, Alan's like, holy shit, it's the attack of Grandpa Munster, which was a callback to the comment he made about Laddie, holy shit, it's the attack of Eddie Monster.
Yeah.
There was another one that was kind of funny. It was not a callback. It was Virgins, Vampire Filet Mignon. I'm like, yeah. Oh, come on.
Oh, and one of my favorite lines, and I was like, I had this moment. I've always said this. It's like, if I became a vampire myself, I would only go after vegans.
Oh, in the tribe.
And she said it in the tribe where she's just like, starts freaking out. And she's like, oh my gosh. She's like, I'm vegan. It's like, you know how gross that is to like, I was like, if you really want to fuck with someone's head, it's like, I'm biting vegans first. Like, right. Just for fun.
Right. Oh, how do you know you're biting a vegan? Trust me, they'll
no,
tell you.
No, you'll know. Yeah, they'll tell.
Don't worry. They'll tell you.
But like, with the thirst, like I said, it feels very Blade 2. It's very frog heavy, and
I think one of the other things this thing suffers from too is the True Blood effect.
Yes.
Quite a lot. Like the whole thing where I guess they changed it looks like they changed the dentures. Because before they had the teeth covers where they just put the fangs over the eye teeth and the canines.
Yeah.
And this one they have a whole set of dentures. So the actors aren't able to close their mouths. So they're doing the wide mouth hissing thing. Thanks yeah. to your blood.
So that was the one thing that I...
Keen Peele.
Yeah, pretty much.
I couldn't stop thinking that sketch.
Yeah. It's like, God, it's like so much blood. It's like, what a mess. It's like... I just want to see future cars. That's all I want to see. I didn't want to die. I just want to see future cars.
But, do you have to drink so... Do you have to be so messy when you're drinking?
It's like, just rub it on his nipple. Stop it. God, now I'm going to have to watch that before I go to bed. But the thing that I did not like about this is the vamp makeup in both movies. Because
it was a downgrade for sure.
It's too like on the nose for like Buffy. Like when they go vamp, they you know change their face. Like so in the original, it's like you got the changeover, but the eyes. It's like in this one, you got this the solid black.
Oh, they blacked them out or the red. Yeah,
I was like, but in the thirst, when you get Alan. Alan fucking looked awesome. He looked boss because of his eye. Like,
he was half vamp. He never fed.
No, but like that was the thing is like because they did the same thing with Michael in the original where he you know had the eyes and they kind of kept that.
Well, Buffy going the around. Buffy vampire makeup was based on the Lost Boys vampire makeup.
Yeah.
So again, we're coming full circle.
Yeah, but no, but that was the thing was like for the there just wasn't the consistency where you had. The vampires that actually look like bats, and then you got Alan, who's not turned fully, but he looks like a lost boy, like or from the original Lost Boys. So, like whenever when David like he's like, "Oh, you're dead meat," went and then did the whole thing, or like coming out of the shadows, like the eyes just fucking locked in, and that was just one of the coolest fucking vampire looks ever, just because of those goddamn eyes.
Contact.
Yeah, and then same thing with Alan. It's like he just looked awesome, and then when he's fighting,
Alan looks you know, it was pretty rough. Awesome. I kind of like what they did with Alan yeah. with the whole because he absolutely refused to bite anybody. He was not killing anybody. He was just living. He was doing his taxidermy projects. I think he must have been living off the animal blood.
He must have been
because he looked like hell.
He looked like a vegan.
No, he did kind of look
vegan vampire.
But I really liked at the end when he changed back. Like he just was spending all day on the beach, like getting a tan.
Oh God, yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah,
because Edgar walks into the Buccaneer. Come on,
that's a good name for the store.
When he walks into the Buccaneer to see Zoe, and she's like, "Hey, I thought you were spending the day with your brother," and he mentioned Alan. He did, but Alan wanted to stay out on the beach so long he didn't want to do it anymore. Alan wanted to turn himself into human beef jerky, I think is how he phrased it.
Yeah.
But, just seeing Alan shaved with a haircut, laying on the beach, getting a nice crispy tan. He just looks so happy.
Yeah.
Laying on the beach chair. I'm like, it's the little things, man. It was cute.
But that was something where, as far as, like, for the makeup goes, like, the vampires looked cool, especially for the budget that they were on.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, for me, it's like, just go for the simple. I was like, just keep it consistent with what you know, they did in the original. It's like, because it looked so good. It was so easy. Like, especially, like, with Max, it's like, when you took someone that's as plain Jane as Max and then turned him...
Amped him up.
Like, he looked fucking awesome. I was like, why? And same thing with Alan and the Thirst. He looked fucking awesome, and it was simple. I mean, it's like, yeah, whether it was contacts, probably fucking annoying as hell. Yeah, but...
Because they're painted hard contacts. Yeah. They suck.
So, I mean, it's like, I just didn't like where it was too back and forth with how, especially, like, with the teeth, and it was
so
just...
It was the look, really. Yeah.
And, like, there was the black Jamaican dude from the tribe.
Oh, the Caribbean guy?
Yeah, or his little backstory was that, oh, it's like, we don't talk about his, like, what he's done.
Yeah, make sure to accomplice after the fact. Yeah.
It's like, that's hard. But it's like, some of the stuff that, like, because they vamped him up, but they still kept a lot of those features. They didn't do any of, like, the big bat stuff. They just did the brow. But with, like, all the other guys, they did, like, a full, like, head makeup. Like,
yeah,
I
think that was probably one of the best things about The Lost Boys was the simplicity of the vampire makeup. Yeah,
exactly.
They didn't go overboard with it, and part of it was budgetary constraints, but part of it was because Schumacher was just like, no, I want to see the actors.
And in Tribe and Thirst, they went very bloody with it, where the vampires actually bit somebody. Like, they...
And the Thirst, there was boobies.
Yes, there was.
There was goth girl boobies.
Yeah.
If you're into big titty goth bitches, that is your movie.
Hey. So...
So, no argument.
Got yeah, it. Not no, no argument there. But yeah, that was the thing, was they really amped it up. And I think it was mainly because of the day and age that it was actually created. Mm. So I think there was a little bit more
of
the...
Direct-to-video, you know, allows a lot of freedom, yeah, too. You're not bound by the MPAA,
yeah,
as much.
So, I don't know. Like, this, I'm not happy about these movies, but it's one of those, like, I'll sit through it, and then we're moving on.
Yeah, it kind of makes me... It's a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
I think...
And as you said, it's like, they are kind of hard to remember. It's like, I had to, like, really... And I watched them this morning. Like, it was...
Yeah. The Tribe especially, it's hard to rack. You really have to rack the brain. I think... I want to talk about the legacy a little bit, but I think I'm just going to give my skull ratings first. The Tribe is a 2.5 for me. It's fine. It kills an hour and a half. It's just bland. And it's forgettable. And unfortunately, like, I'm not shitting on it. It's fine. There's no major complaints, but there's no major victories either. So it's kind of... It just exists. Which is why I don't think The Thirst did as well. Because it sold, I think, half as many DVDs initially as The Tribe did. I think people just didn't trust that The Thirst was going to be anything. And Thirst I liked a bit better because they did do something different with it. Even though it was a bit of a Blade ripoff, they did pull in elements from a lot of other pop culture-y things. The bits of Blade, the bits of Twilight, kind of making fun of that. And at the end, getting the reveal that it's not just vampires. We get other... crypto creatures too. We have Zoe.
Who's a lichen girl.
She's a weregirl. She's a werewolf. It's funny because she... there was a scene at when Edgar drops off the book that Alan gave him and has basically Zoe doing his research. And one of the ex's vamps drops in and Zoe attacks Zoe. She manages to fight him off and sprays him in the mouth with what looks like a can of pepper spray. And Edgar looks over at her and he's like, you pepper sprayed him? And she goes, no, it's holy water. And he's like, wait, you believe in vampires? She goes, yeah. And it's just odd because most people push back on Edgar and they think he's nuts. But Zoe was like all in. Turns out it's because she's a lichen. And
that setup too was really funny because she's like, oh, I just sold your comic collection, and it was like for like $500. He's like, oh, that's...
No, it was just the Destroyer of Vampires.
Oh, just the Destroyer. Oh, I thought it was... Yeah. All right, so I got it backwards. So yeah, like, so but she's, I just sold your book for like $500. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. And then he's like, hey, I was reading this book and, you know, I was kind of curious as to like,
it's well, like, he was looking he was looking more into other dark creatures. Cause for him, cause now that the vampire thing's kind of been handled.
Yeah.
There are other potential like crypto creatures out there, supernatural creatures out there.
So he's like, but how did you, you know, learn, like, how did you get into the whole, like, believing in vampire thing? And then he goes right into the whole lycan, well, like, werewolf thing. Well,
he's just like, did you know, he's like, I just read something really cool. Do you know that female lycanthropes can change at will? Like, it doesn't have to be on the full moon? And she goes, yeah, that's interesting. And then her eyes flash.
I was like, oh my god.
Which we're never going to follow up on that.
Never.
Which, so I was like, oh, we get this kind of interest, like, neat stinger. But we're never going to get anything out of, unless it's in the comic books, but I have not read any of the comics. Mm. There's a bunch of Lost Boys comics, including what Schumacher initially wanted to do as a sequel. Because he's like, all of the Lost Boys are dead, right? So why don't we just do, like, the Lost Girls? Let's create a story about girl vampires and see what happens. It never happened. It ended up going into the comic books instead. So
they kind of did the same thing, like, what they did with Buffy, where they had the whole...
They just,
like,
rolled it into comic books. Yeah. But the Thirst, I liked better. I liked they did something different. I thought the characters were more engaging. Every single one of them. Even the lamer ones, like DJX, who was honestly not that cool. And Johnny Trash.
Yeah.
The blogger. Come on. He was super douchey, but at least he could catch your attention because you're rolling your eyes.
Yeah.
He's getting something out of you. Which didn't happen in the Tribe. So for the Thirst, that's more of like just a solid 3 for me. Decent fight scenes, decent makeup. There's a lot more blood. There's boobies if you're into boobs. The music is fucking terrible.
Yeah, just a
heads up on that. The music is not good.
The sound, like there's a chase scene in the Tribe, and I was just like, it does not fit. I was like, it just. It sounds like they did it in like post, like it was like a post edit thing, and it's just
they like decided to slam it in there at the last second, and they tried to cram the Cry Little Sister in the, like, in the Tribe they worked Cry Little Sister into a sex scene.
Yeah,
okay, fine, that's where that was, that's kind of where that belonged, fine. In this one they try to do it, they worked it in when Edgar was taking down Peter at the end of the movie. They worked it in there, but it wasn't... They cut it off in a weird spot. They built it up in a weird spot. It didn't fit. Like, they just shoehorned it in, because I feel like when they were putting the, like, final touches on the movie, they went, oh, we forgot the song.
Quick, hit the button.
Yeah, just stick it in somewhere.
Russell, hit the button.
But both movies had the Aiden version of it, and I was just kind of like, oh...
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's fine. We didn't get an update for the Thirst. We just both, we get the Aiden one for both. So, 2.5 for me on the Tribe, and a solid 3 on the Thirst. Like, they're not bad movies, but they're not good movies either. I don't think either of them particularly deserves the amount of shit they've been getting since they've come out. They're just bland and boring. Kind of like, yeah, watch them to watch them, but, I mean, you're not gonna... It doesn't have the sticking power or the influence that first movie did, which is a shame.
Yeah. For me, for the Tribe, I ended up giving it a solid 2. And for Thirst, I ended up giving it 1.5. As I'm watching, it's like a lot of cringiness, a lot of B-movie dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
And it was one of those, like, it really wasn't the best. Like, so, I mean, yeah. And we've been through some bad B-movies before, and it's like, it's pretty rough on a lot of that stuff. So, but it's like having, in the Thirst, it was a little bit, I don't know if it hurt more. Or if I liked it more because Frog was in there as, like, the main character.
You feel like having too much Edgar Frog was a detriment
to
the Thirst?
Because he was doing his Frog thing in every goddamn scene. And like I said, you couldn't...
He was so grumpy, though, and it was kind of funny.
Yeah, and that's why I was like, are you doing it to be... I was like, I go back to that thing of like, are you being funny, you know? Mm. Or are you being serious? Like, because you kind of look like, you know, Steven Seagal and... Oh, wait, no, now you're being funny. Like, and you're kind of going back and forth. With like,
so what you didn't know how to feel about it.
Yeah, and yeah. It's like, it's just, there's nothing there. Like, Zoe was great just because she was just adorable. And it's like...
Cute, spunky little goth girl.
I dig her. Hey. But like, that was the thing is... Like, she was a great little comic relief. Oh, one of the who was the cameraman? I think his name was
Klaus.
Klaus. So the cameraman that was for the big, like,
he's following Lars around. Yeah,
Lars, dude. He was hilarious. So they did this thing where it was like during the big fight scene with DJ X, and they were trying to keep all the other like juiced up
vamps like, away. Yeah.
And he's got a UV light, and like his voice gets so high pitched. It's he's like, guys, I can't do this alone. I'm like, oh no, what am I gonna do? Like, he was freaking out.
Oh, and the battery
out.
Started to die. He's like, oh, what a fucking perfect time for this to happen.
He's like, oh my god! But it was just like his voice just hit this like level of just the crackiness. It's so good. But yeah, it's just it's funny where it's like looking back from the original Lost Boys and just how I was like, I give that movie even more credit now because of how it paced, how it just it's set up, how the comedy actually works, how the drama works, and mm-hmm. how the vamps look. It's like it's a damn good movie.
I am so glad you've come around on it.
Yeah,
you didn't like it before.
Yeah, and it's because of the frog stuff. But now it's like I kind of get like once I stated it's like it wasn't just the Frog Brothers and just how cringy they were. It's just them being kids, and it's like now with Thirst and Tribe, it's harder because I'm seeing it as an adult watching adults do the things that they used to, like. It's weird. It's like me going, like, I'm Batman today. Or I'm, you know, Leonardo from Ninja Turtles. And, wah! Like, it's not going to be the same
maybe
because...
Maybe you should put your Batman pants on.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
You need Batman pants. You need any pants.
Please buy my merch. But, yeah. So, I gave it a 2 for, you know, Tribe and 1.5 for Thirst. But it's... It was just funny, like, when I watched it, I watched them in reverse. So I watched the last one first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was just funny, just the amount of cringe. Like, I was just like, I can't, I'm going to have a bad morning.
I think, I think one of the things, though, that made these two sequels so difficult was that The Lost Boys was so steeped in its time. It is so steeped in the 80s. And it had this perfect storm of things around it to make it happen. And it had it had the good-looking cast. And it had, like, you had Kiefer Sutherland, who was really early in his career, who had a really particular charisma about him, and you had this is the first movie with the two Coreys together, and like so you're getting that dynamic for the first time, and their chemistry is crackling off the charts, and just there was this magical like yes, it is so steeped in the 80s. It is a fashion victim nightmare. It is corny. It is cheesy. It has like it's just like it, but it had its own charm that the sequels just somehow could not get.
Like, and they and you could tell like they were trying to replicate something that just they could not touch.
And they couldn't do it. Like there was just a magic there that they couldn't get. I'm sure. And they had 20 years between The Tribe and The Lost Boys. Like The Lost Boys didn't need a sequel. It shouldn't have had a sequel. But we got the ones that we got. Are they the worst thing I've ever seen? No. But, like, they just don't need to exist. Like, you had a perfect movie.
I was going to say that, too. I was like, it's one of those, like, it just didn't need to happen. It's just, there's so many movies that come out where you're just like, oh, like, that got a sequel? Like, why? It's like, you should have just left it at the original. It's like, just let it be.
Because Lost Boys is perfect for what it is. And it's just so of its time that to pull it into anything modern, and we're 35 years removed now at this point, but to pull it into something more modern just doesn't work.
Well, and what's hilarious is like our kids are, like, I mean, I am as well, but we are really into Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Like, that is our jam. Mm-hmm. Like, our son was Shorty for Halloween this year. Mm-hmm. And so it was funny watching those, you know, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and then, you know, my son going, oh, is there a sequel or is there something after? I'm like, no, it's been 35 years, and there hasn't been anything. And then literally, like, the next day, they dropped the trailer for the video game. And he was like, oh my God, they're doing it. I geeked out because I was like, they're doing something new. But
it did not need a movie sequel.
It's not a sequel. And that's why I was like, for something like Killer Clowns, where I'm like, I would love to have a sequel just because I would love to get more stories. But now it's been so long, and now you know that they're going to put in more effort, more budget, more...
Maybe,
you know,
as long as it's the Chiodo brothers still doing it.
But that's what I was like, I wonder if that would kill the vibe of whatever they did from the third, you know, back in the 80s, because it's like, that had just... It was just a perfect wrapped package.
Well, I think that's part of the problem that happened with The Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Is you didn't get Schumacher back. You didn't get those writers back. This was a whole new set of people. It just felt, the tribe especially, felt like they had a spec script for something else. And then they kind of reworked it to being a Lost Boys or a vampire movie. The downside of the Lost Boys legacy, though, and that some people might point to, is the Lost Boys is the reason why we have Twilight.
Yeah.
Because it kicked off the sexy vampire thing. Prior to the Lost Boys, you could argue that Bela Lugosi had some sex appeal to him, but really, like, the vampires were not super sexy. Like, they were an allegory for sex. But, like, I wouldn't necessarily point to, like, Christopher Lee as being a particularly sexy fella, you know, like in the Hammer movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe somebody did, but I personally would not do that. But they made, because it was updated and it was modern, they were so young. Before, it was older, creaky guys. Like, you know, Christopher Lee was in his 50s.
Like, I was trying to think of, like, what other vampire movies that they tried to do that. And I was like, I mean, we got Fright Night with a younger, more modern vampire.
And Fright Night came two years prior to The Lost Boys. And, I mean, Chris Sarandon. Chris Sarandon, he was about 40 when he did Fright Night. I wouldn't kick him out of bed.
But I wouldn't either.
A handsome dude.
But it's like with David and the Lost Boys, that is the only thing I can think of is where it's like you get like the gang of young vampires and like, so yeah, I could definitely see where that is a...
But that is the ground zero for sexy teenage vampires. Boom, right there. Lost Boys. Like, what? Jason Patrick. What the fuck? Like, he was Kiefer Sutherland, especially when they shaved him for that death scene, like, mm-hmm. where they shaved his face and he had that baby face. Like, and then the guys around them that were hired, like, Brooke McCarter was a model. They hired models. So, like, him and Dwayne, I forget the actor's name, they were models. Alex Winter was an up-and-coming actor. Like, he hadn't even done Bill and Ted yet. So, like, those are all... Joel Schumacher set out to make a pretty movie. And then on top of it, there was a bit of a struggle there because this was during the height of the AIDS epidemic. So there was a lot of people point to some symbolism there that subliminally... was kind of talking about that on a, like some of the politics surrounding that. And then the homoeroticism on top of it. So like Lost Boys has a lot of stuff going on in what looks like on the surface, a really simple movie.
You want to know what it was completely missing? Sexy saxophone. Thurston Tribe did not have sexy saxophone.
And that's it.
That's 100%.
That's why they failed.
They failed. No saxophone.
No oily saxophone player.
They should just had him just in the background, like, just hanging out somewhere, just in the back of a store at
there
a coffee
was
a, shop.
At the Thirst, there was a concert. It was a DJ thing. Like, he could have had a sexy... Nope.
Nope. No flaming garbage can. No,
that's
nothing.
It. They both get a one now.
Yep, told you.
Terrible.
I knew there was something.
Well, damn. But anyway, that's gonna... I think we can just wrap this one up. The original Lost Boys movie is forever gonna probably be one of my favorites. I don't see it changing. It's been half my life now, and I don't know. I just think in terms of just having all the entertainment, like all the entertainment boxes are being ticked there. So
and with the Thurston Tribe, it's like it doesn't hurt at all.
Oh God, no, yeah, they don't. Because I love how some people will point to sequels of certain movies and be like, "You ruined the original." It doesn't ruin the original.
Like
shut up.
Like for me, Jaws again is always my all-time go-to.
But that one didn't need sequels either.
No, it didn't. But it's like, but for me, it's like I could totally watch Jaws 2 and be fine. Jaws 3, I'll even watch it, you know, just because it's fun. And yeah, I was like,
and Dennis Quaid is coked out of his fucking mind.
And then, yeah, but then we won't talk about the Jaws of Revenge. The River. That's the only one I could just say is, just leave it alone. But yeah, it's like, I like that when you are such a huge fan of the main film and the other stuff, it doesn't hurt it, but, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah, I could definitely see that now. And I have a higher appreciation for The Lost Boys than what I did back in my younger Lunchbox days.
I am really happy for that.
So yes.
I think...
Higher.
I think people who don't like The Lost Boys are weird people.
Yeah.
And the wrong kind of weird. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for this trio. Next week, we're going to get real festive. Should be good times. We are going to do Red Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing about this.
Yeah, this is her Megan's pick and again, so... hopefully it's good.
Listen, you have to do all the work on the back end. I'm doing the work on the front end. So we're just going to roll with it. It was either that or we were going to do Black Christmas again because honestly, it's the best Christmas horror movie I think I've ever seen.
So goddamn. That or Silent Night, Deadly Night. Like I cannot wait to watch those again. I'll probably watch those like later tonight. So.
Right. Punish.
So good.
But
I actually made I wanted to make a shirt, like taking the face of what's his name from
Billy.
It's Billy.
Billy.
And then below it, just punish. I was like, it's gonna be so good. And my mom's gonna be like, "What the hell is wrong with you?
Where did I go wrong raising you?" But in the meantime, go ahead, subscribe, like, share, comment. Please tell your friends. We appreciate any, especially 5-star reviews. You can email us at creepitatreal.cm@gmail.com with movie ideas if you have any. We're always willing to insert something somewhere if anyone has a movie that sounds interesting. You can get us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at creepitatreal. You can also buy our merch. Not sure about the Christmas timeline. However, you know, holy pants over here could really, really use a few pennies. So you can go to creepitatreal.redbubble.com or there's a link in the Instagram bio. You can just go ahead and tap that and jump on whatever Christmas sales are still remaining for Redbubble and get some sweet podcast merch.
Yeah, Redbubble constantly does a bunch of different sales. So you just sign up and they will send you all types of shit. You can get stickers, bath mats, t-shirts, sweaters. I mean, like they have so much stuff that you can customize. So help a brother out.
Right. So in the meantime, until we do Red Christmas next week.
Fang check.
I'm Mistress Meg.
I'm the good buddy Lunchbox.
And your sister's a suck monkey.